In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I'd like to thank all of you for coming this morning to attend my graduation. And to wish me and my taillights happy trails over the hill to go away. And, of course, I want you to know I've been very loyal, as the Old Testament says. And God said, whatever Sarah says to you, do as she tells you. Report cards come out long after I'm gone, so that part's okay. This morning's gospel finishes a long counsel on the part of Jesus to his followers to give them some hints and instruction on how to carry out ministry. And of course, Matthew collected all these sayings and put them together in his gospel as a means of perhaps teaching us what it means to be one of Jesus' agents, one of his ministers. And you recall from last week, he showed everybody how much he cared for them by curing their illnesses and diseases. He laid hands on people. He prayed without ceasing. He had deep compassion and caring. And he showed people how warmth and community and hospitality and generosity and sharing and mutual care for one another makes our world the envy of the world and attracts people from all walks of life who are hungering for that peace which the world cannot give. So armed with that message, the early church wandered all over the earth from England to India, from Ireland to the Sahara, and probably beyond. The world of yesterday isn't too different from the world of today. And, you know, both the Old Testament and the New Testament try to beat it into our thick little heads that our worst enemy is fear. And you probably noticed every time an angel of the Lord shows up, almost the first thing the angel says is, don't be afraid. Do not fear. And this morning, Old Testament lesson, the angel comes to Hagar and says, don't be afraid. Easy for the angel to say. Hagar's living in the desert, starving to death, and watching her son die. How much fun can that be? Don't be afraid. God knows that we must listen to that sometimes with very doubtful ears. A colleague of mine, some years ago, found himself in the middle of the civil rights controversy in the city in which he lived. And not only that, found microphones stuck in his face, found himself on television as he was calling out for the end of segregation. And when he got home, his wife looked at him and said, are you crazy? Do you know what's happened since you were on television? The phone has never stopped ringing. People are calling and threatening. They're hanging up. What's the matter with you? How come, whatever made you think that you would get on television and argue against the city council and all these people? And, you know, sometimes there's no answer to our wives' questions. And a miserable time was had by all. And these are all going to come together, but another colleague who was a business colleague found out that the company was paying under the table for elevator contracts, and we're getting this particular person, the boss, was getting a big kickback. And this colleague of mine found out about it and spoke out against it. And when he got home that night for dinner, his wife said to him, "Are you crazy? We need your job. What are you speaking out like that? It's not in your business." Have any of you ever had these kind of conversations at home? Have any of you husbands ever been called crazy by your wife? If not, you probably have. I won't finish the sentence. Harvard Business School teaches that any time you're going to call into question a favorite procedure or come up with a new idea for a product or something like that, it's almost always going to be met with hostility, and you are all going to be on the frying pan for a while. Indeed, we see here, and particularly in Southern California, for many of your business lives, those who spoke up against the management suddenly found themselves either forming a new company or forming in the unemployment line. It takes a lot of guts to speak up, is what Jesus is telling us. And you know, it isn't that he wants us to be crusaders. But this whole notion of truth and justice that the Bible and that God is so insistent upon is a matter of some heat. And Jesus reminds us that all these prophets in the days of yore spoke out against corruption. They spoke out against the entitlements of the rich. And they spoke out against the ways in which backsliding had taken place in old Israel. And for their troubles, many of the prophets were banished. Some were killed. Their writings were often suppressed. And I'm sure when they came home for dinner at night, their wives said to them, "Are you crazy? We're speaking out like this." What's the consequences if we don't speak out? Well, I think Jesus gives us some hints in today's gospel that your own personal discomfort is going to keep you awake at night. And you're going to be constantly haunted by these words that whoever denies me, I will also deny. And again, we are told in the gospel that if we find ourselves out in the world doing Jesus' work and we draw fire for it, he's going to tell us what to do, and he's going to tell us always not to fear. And Jesus goes so far as to say, don't even fear those who are going to kill you. Now that's some pretty heavy load. And sometimes when I hear these words, I'm tempted to say, as I'm sure some of you are, easy for you to say, Jesus. Except, of course, that's how he lived his life. And his death was a result of his spreading love and compassion and truth. I don't think that we're necessarily called every day to go out and risk our lives. A relative of mine. I knew he wouldn't like the sermon. That was my grandson, for some of you that weren't aware of that. So anyway, what we are faced with in our daily lives is living the gospel. And I want to remind you of good old St. Francis, who told his followers, preach the gospel. Only use words if necessary. He wants to teach all of us that the gospel is spread by how we behave and how we pass on this love and how we pass on this charity and compassion. And that takes place every moment we're alive. From the time we get up to the time we go to bed, we're in contact with other people. And the way in which we control or not control our anger at the guy who cut us off on the freeway or the lady that butts in line at the supermarket, we're always confronted with the need to remember some of the words of the Sermon on the Mount. And we're also reminded that God teaches us to have compassion and love even for those who are causing us some problems. So this whole message comes to us with the notion that something wonderful happens when we find ourselves speaking the truth and trying to live the truth. My friend who went down south and found himself in a bitter controversy, actually wound up having his wife, love him all the more. And my business colleague who exposed the kickback to an elevator contract lost his job. But his family was very proud of him. And he found another job, and he didn't have to lie awake at night worrying about his own conscience. These are some of the ways in which God supports us and sustains us when we live our lives and listen to His message. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we pray for that holy courage that comes to us as a gift of the Spirit and that teaches us that we can live our lives not being afraid all the time. That we can live with a sense of Your being with us, never leaving us, but a sense of Your supporting us in all our efforts. In grateful thanks, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.